time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone like we always do with some live music. This is In the Light by me, by Carla Nivens. Sit back and enjoy.
Walking in light, I turn from what I live in. Ain't no way continue in the struggle I'm in. Living the light, just getting better, join in. He's giving life, I'm getting my benefits. Walking in light, I turn from what I live in.
Your image is on me, your Holy Spirit.
Well, my name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I hope you enjoyed In the Light. Our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org. You can get all of the great information about Love Ministries. We have Christmas coming up, so there are opportunities to volunteer as well as opportunities for you to get your children or young people in your life involved in Love Ministries. Well, I am very excited about our conversation for today. We are welcoming Stacy Ivy. Stacy is a poet, a health coach, and a sister, and she truly is that. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. And Stacy, although this is your first time on the show, you are a friend of the show and have been for a while. I know over last Christmas, I guess, and I asked some friends and ladies to get together to help me plan out subjects for this year. You came and just helped us get ready for this season of Every Heart, Every Woman radio. So I'm so excited for you to be here.
I'm excited. Thank you for asking me.
Sure. Thank you for saying yes. So, Stacy, there's so much that we could talk about, and there's so much that we will cover, but I would love for you to start with your testimony. Your testimony has a lot of layers, and you've been through a lot, worked through a lot, working through a lot, mm-hmm. and you just have such a beautiful smile, a beautiful life, and you truly are a sister. I like that you put that in your introduction, because that's truly what your life has made you. That's what the Lord has made you. So would you share with us your testimony?
Yes, thank you. Sure. You're so sweet. I appreciate it. So a big part of my testimony is physical abuse that I've endured. Mm-hmm. I grew up not in the best situations. My parents did what they could. Mm-hmm. I got in a bad relationship when I was about 21. Mm-hmm. He was very abusive, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I didn't realize sexually he was abusive until mm-hmm. I left the relationship.
Okay.
So I was with him for like 5 years. My 2 years after we were together, I moved out of Ohio. That's where mm-hmm. I'm from. So I came to Texas. It's definitely been a healing process. Mm-hmm. So just really focusing on who I am, really accepting who I am, not mm-hmm. hiding or running from who Stacy is. It's been hard mm-hmm. and necessary. So I've just been really focusing on healing, which is so hard,
yeah.
but it's so necessary for my life, for my sisters to see that it's possible to go through something and come out clean,
yeah,
and come out healed, come out with God on your side,
yeah, yeah.
even when you push him away, mm-hmm. but he is always there.
Yeah. So how do you go about focusing on health?
So deep breathing has helped.
Yeah.
Definitely deep breathing, making sure I exercise. It's a struggle. You know, yeah. I don't exercise because I don't feel like it. But then I remember, like, when I do exercise, it's like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So definitely that. I read a lot. So making sure I take some self time, take walks, just really trying to meditate,
yeah.
center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and one thing I think maybe some women who may be listening, how did you realize when you were in the relationship for 5 years, did you realize it during those 5 years that this isn't the best, this is an abusive situation, or did this come after the relationship as you've been taking the steps in the healing process?
That's a great question. So, yes, in the relationship, I knew he was abusive. So women who are in abusive relationships will understand, like, it's hard to get out. It's not that you want to be in this relationship. Nobody wants to be slapped around or emotionally abused. So towards maybe 6 months to a year, I knew he was physically abusive. And maybe, like, within 2 to 3 years, my self-esteem was at zero. Like, I hated everything about myself, from physical, emotionally, just everything. Every aspect of me was gone. And after the relationship, I realized that it was him just stripping away and making it seem like I'm not as smart or as brave or as wise that I am, because it was because he feared my strength. So... yeah, so definitely during the relationship I knew, but it was just hard to leave. Because I lived in a small town and it's just, it was nowhere to go. And he obviously, he made it really hard. He was like a stalker. He'll show up at my job, wait outside my apartment. He'll drive around for hours until he found me. So it was not easy to leave him. It was safer to stay with him, as crazy as that sounds, but it was safer to stay.
So was anybody aware? Was did anybody see anything, or were there triggers that anybody was like, that doesn't seem quite right?
My dad was aware. I had a best friend. She was aware, but it's hard, you know? My parents, they grew up not really talking about emotions. And the only advice my dad gave me was, when you're tired, you'll leave. I'm just like, I've been tired and I can't leave. So that was frustrating. But when you're in an abusive relationship, the abuser separates you from everybody. So it makes it seem like, or he makes it seem like, everybody is bad. Like, there's no good people, nobody's on your side, that everybody's against you. And then that self-shame, like, oh my gosh, I'm in an abusive relationship. I never thought I would be that woman. Like, it's embarrassing. So you don't want to go out and you don't want to make friends, because when you're out, then you're thinking about, oh my gosh, is he okay when I'm out? And there's the constant phone calls, the text messages, like, who are you with? You're with another guy. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm with my female friends. And if there is a guy there, then he was like, oh, well, did they bring somebody for you? I'm like, oh my gosh. So frustrating.
So when you did decide, when you were like, okay, I think, well, how did you get to that point where you were able to end it?
So it was absolutely a God thing. I remember I had a break during my job and I was going to go home. And like I said, he's a stalker, so he found out where I lived. And I was going to meet my best friend. I was going to go home and meet my best friend. And when I went home, I saw his car. So I just kept driving. I ended up calling the police. And I told them, and the police came out, which they were very familiar with him. So they, I was driving, and he was following me, and I was trying to lose him, like, through the streets or whatever, like the back roads. And the police ended up getting him. And usually I always see him get arrested, and I feel guilty. So this time, I didn't see him get arrested. And I'm just like, okay, this is definitely God to release me from feeling like it's my fault. And so I had no idea they got him. And so when you call the police and the dispatcher, they stay on the phone with you. And I'm like, I don't know where he is. She told me, she was like, it's okay. You know, they got him. I'm like, oh, I didn't even see the police. I didn't see him or anything. I'm just like, okay. So it felt freeing. And so I guess he went to jail. And after that, he did try to call, so I blocked him from everything. And I ended up having to go to court to get a restraining order. But it was definitely God. Like, that last time that I seen him, it was such a release. Like, I felt lighter. Obviously, at that time, it was so hard, and I just cried a lot.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a release, like a weight lifted off of me. Finally, I'm free.
And did you have any support around you that last time when you felt that release? Did you have a different place to go, or did you change your routine at all? Or
yes, I ended up moving about 45 minutes away from where I lived.
Okay.
So I stayed with my best friend. So that was, well, I went back and forth between the two places. So I changed up my routine. He didn't know, like, where I worked, because I was home health care. So I would go to different houses. So that was a blessing. So I would just go between my best friend's house and my dad's house. And, yeah, so I felt safer that way.
And then how did you get to the place where you actually moved away from there?
I moved from Ohio to Texas, and my best friend decided to move to Georgia. And at that time, I would have been homeless if I stayed there.
Okay.
So I have a sister here in Texas. And so she was like, hey, just come down here. I've been here. Texas has been great. So I moved here, and she was absolutely right. Texas has been a huge healing place for me. So definitely the people God put in my life and he surrounded me with, because I'm a super introvert. So I don't really like talking to people, approaching people, which I'm getting better at.
Yeah.
But
I was like, I wouldn't say you were an introvert.
Really?
Yeah.
I am. Like, like
you
so
have
much.
Such a personality.
Yeah. I had to grow into that. Like, I had to really accept, like, it's okay to be an introvert, and it's okay to have people in your life.
So how did you get to the point where you, you know, trust people? Because I can imagine that even when you got here to Dallas, you would be, you know, like, okay, I'm just going to do this alone.
Yes, that was absolutely my goal.
Yeah.
But God said, like, you tried it. You are unable to do life alone. I know you don't want these people in your life. And to be honest, I still don't trust people. I still struggle to believe that what they say is true. But I'm just like, they're not showing me any different. And you want people to trust you when you say something. You want them to trust you that is true. So I still wrestle with that.
Huge. And so I know also for you, church was a big thing. Like, when you found, you know, a church home and people where you can just kind of plug into a good community. Talk about that.
Yes. So when I first came down here, I went to the Village Church and I met the amazing family, and they just took me under their wings. They were just, oh my gosh. It was like God was like, Stacy, go here, meet these people, and your life will forever change. And they have been nothing but Jesus displayed.
Wonderful.
And it's, I've never experienced something that beautiful. And it was, she was so patient with me. Their family, so loving, so giving. They didn't ask for anything, like nothing at all. And it was just amazing. So I was so blessed to have gone to that church and met that family. And from there, it was just kind of opened me up. So she would introduce me to her friends, introduce me to her family, just accepted me. She called me her sister. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So that meant a lot to me.
I was going to say, that must have been amazing.
Like, it was completely opposite from where I came from. Like, being isolated, not having people to, she wanted to be in my space and she fought to be in my space. She's like, no, I'm not going to leave you alone. I have an open door. Here's a key, like a literal key. Yeah, you have no excuse to not be in our lives.
Okay. That's good. So, Is there any advice that you would give, or just any? I wouldn't say the word advice. Advice sounds too strong of a word. But what are nuggets of wisdom that you would give anybody who's in a situation where they're thinking, they may not even be at the point where they say this is abusive. They may still be, I think this may not be right. I think this may not be love. What are nuggets of wisdom that you would hold on to that really helped you?
That's a great question. I was actually thinking about that the other day.
Okay.
Like, what would I tell somebody who's in my situation? Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to just provide encouragement,
yeah,
because everybody processes differently.
Okay.
Everybody experiences life her own way.
Mm-hmm.
So, or his way, because mm-hmm, they're all men who are being abused.
Yeah.
So for me, encouragement was just somebody sitting with me, not saying anything, not okay, making it feel like, oh my gosh, you shouldn't have done this or you should have done that. But mm-hmm, it was just literally just sitting with me, not talking, not giving advice. That's it. Like,
okay,
that's, I would advise people who know that somebody is abusing them, don't say that, oh, you shouldn't have done this or you shouldn't have done that, because obviously people want love. Like, mm-hmm, that's a part of life. Everybody desires love.
Yeah.
So because somebody made a bad choice in,
yeah,
who they chose, that doesn't mean they're horrible person, they're stupid, they're
right,
foolish, they're just experiencing life, they're trying it out, and God, thankful that they tried it out. And
mm-hmm,
I'm like, I'm finally to the point where I'm like, wow, like, I'm brave to have tried out a relationship,
mm-hmm,
coming from a broken home and a broken past. Like, I congratulate myself,
yeah,
for sticking it out, because
mm-hmm,
a lot of people, they commit suicide or they end up dying, and I'm just like, it's,
yeah,
such a blessing,
yeah,
I'm still here. So
yeah,
I would definitely encourage people who know to just sit with them. Don't assume that they're in a relationship because they want to be there.
Right.
Just they're trying,
yeah,
and that they're extremely brave, extremely smart, but they just need somebody to sit with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great advice.
Yeah.
That's great advice. So Stacey, I know that you write, you know, you write poems and you're a lyricist. And so is this something that you pour into the words that you write?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Writing is my heartbeat.
Okay.
I would not be the woman I am without writing.
Yeah.
I still have like pen and paper. Like, I,
yeah,
don't, you know,
me
type
too,
it up. Oh my,
yeah,
gosh. When God is speaking, or just words or experience in life, I have to write it.
Yeah.
That's my way of processing.
Yeah.
I'm,
yeah,
definitely a processor, so I have to write it out. And then from there, it's just like, okay, this is what I'm dealing with, and this is my way out. This is my healing.
Yeah, yeah. So did you always write, or is this something that you started for the healing process?
I always wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe since the fifth grade I,
yeah,
started writing, and I've learned from there that the pen and paper were the only things I can trust.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's really good. So, Stacey, there are more questions that I want to ask you, and more things that we want to get into, but it's time for us to take a break. So let's take a break, and we will be right back.
Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. We are talking with Stacy Ivey. Stacy is a poet, a health coach, and a sister. And Stacy has been really just sharing her testimony. So, Stacy, thank you. Thank you for being open and honest with us. We appreciate it. And I know that your story is healing and it's encouraging for so many people. So I truly appreciate it. Appreciate your honesty. And so when we went to the break, when we left for the break, we talked about writing and how you said you've done that always, and that's really helped you to process. You're a processor. I'm a processor, too. It takes me about a week to figure out what I'm thinking, you know. So I know that you have, I've asked you to read something, some words that you've posted. So can you share them with us?
Absolutely. So I wrote this after just observing a man who was in a trance at a bar I went to with live music, and it was amazing. The music was wonderful. And I just watched him from a distance and how he was just absorbed in the words. So this piece is called The Man in the Chair. He could never forget the notes on his lips, fingertips stained with ink and torn pages of Tomorrowland. He kept the rhythm, the focus, the drive to continue past his withering body and tired soul. I only saw him from behind, but everything I witnessed was poetry off of the shape of his brows and the movement of his hand to the beat.
Yeah, Stacy.
Thank you.
I was like, I couldn't write that if I truly tried. I concentrated for a week. That was very good. And so that was really from an observation.
Yeah, I wrote that in like 2 minutes while I was just looking at him. He was just so involved in the music.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I can see how this type of writing, really creative, you know, really helps the healing process and really helps helps us process writing. I think that's something that maybe people don't think about, and that writing everything, even if you can't write, drawing pictures.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So has there been an organization that kind of sticks out in your path to healing? Is there an organization that you've been through or been to that really helped you on this process?
To be honest, no.
Okay.
So I've been to a couple organizations and I don't remember their name.
Okay.
But one specifically in Ohio I went to, and they just talked about the stuff that you already know. Oh, you're in an abusive relationship. It's hard to get out. Try to get out. Have a relationship with people, you know, have accountability, just like we already know this. Like, I'm in this situation right now. I'm unable to leave. And it was just hard. It's just a bunch of broken women who are in abusive relationships sitting together talking about their abuse. That is not helpful for me. So I didn't enjoy that. And then I went to a healing group here, and we kind of went around in circles, talk about things that we're dealing with and we need healing from. And at the time, I didn't have a job. I'm like, man, I really need a job. I struggle with suicide and depression. And I was like, I'm just really suicidal right now. So the lady's advice, she said, good luck. So when I left, I sat in my car and I just cried. Like, I wept. I'm like, good luck.
Yeah.
That's actually the second time somebody told me good luck.
Really?
Yes. I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. Like, I'm glad I serve a God who's bigger than that good luck.
Yeah.
Because he kept me. And he kept me in the rightest mind that I could be at that time.
Yeah.
I'm just like, good luck. Like, I would never tell somebody good luck.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like, well, first, my first question is, when did you receive Christ? Did you receive Christ when you were younger, or or later in life?
So honestly, I don't remember a time not knowing God.
Okay.
So I never had that experience that some people mm-hmm. have, but I don't remember never not knowing him.
Okay. Okay. So did you feel like the Lord was, I know you felt like the Lord was with you all the time, but did you ever feel like the Lord was, you know, tugging you or pulling you in a situation or calling you in a situation out of, you know, one thing to the next? Or did you ever feel like the Lord was renaming the things that you felt like were shameful in your life?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Literally every day.
Yeah. Man.
One memory that I can think of, I was friends with this lady mm-hmm. and she was not healthy. She preyed on people who were in quotes weak, who had a lot of struggles and still trying to heal. And at that time I moved here, like I was fresh here, and she prayed on me. And after getting out of a relationship with her, she would call me randomly and just say, well, God told me this and God told me that. And I'm just like, that's not what God told you for sure. Because I would get off the phone with her, have suicidal thoughts, just cry and cry and cry. And I heard God say, if it's true, why are you having suicidal thoughts? And he's like, you need to know who I named you, who you are.
Yeah.
So I just got in the word. He took me to Psalms 119 and Proverbs 31.
Mm-hmm.
And he just defined who I was.
Yeah.
And those are things that I have to go over and over. And then scriptures and just prayers. One of the books I read was Spiritual Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading that and it had prayers in it. And I just went over them. I was writing a lot and just really claiming who I am, because God said that's who I am.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, if God said it, it has to be true. I have trust issues. So I was really wrestling with that, even though he's God. But just really accepting that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we have all found, you know, everybody's in life goes through some level or some sort of trauma. Just the degrees may be different.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, one of the things I love about our relationship with our Heavenly Father is how loving and how patient he is. And I say it all the time, but there's nothing else I can say, and nothing even anything else better that I can say. I was like, Lord, how can I upgrade that? That is upgraded.
Yes.
He just is loving and patient.
Yes.
And I know that I've been outside of the country. I talk about that often, and just seeing the Lord do things for people that there's no other human there to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the Lord taking care of them. And it's just the Lord calling to them. And there's no other explanation for that. It's the Lord saying, this is who you are. And it's really soft and quiet.
Yes.
And it's, you know, like really gentle and sweet.
Yes.
And how you need it to be, so that you can hear him, hear
yes.
his voice, and you can listen to him. So, yeah, that's wonderful. Stacey, talk a little bit more about your health care, because I know that, like you said, sometimes it's hard to work out, but it's and I know it's the endorphins in the brain that really are healing, and
yes.
we all need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do to remind yourself to work out? Because that's a hard thing to do.
Absolutely. It's easier to be non-active than active.
Yes.
Because sitting on a couch feels a lot better than just getting up and working out.
Mm-hmm.
fitness has been something that I've loved. And at the beginning, I would just sit there and watch workout videos okay. and not work out.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're saying that because that's where so many of us are.
I'm like, oh, I can do that and not do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, it's been 30 minutes and I had a donut and I didn't even work out. I'm like, okay, well, it's too late. So I finally got to the point. I was actually listening to Dr. Matthew Stevenson. He was like, some of you want to travel the world, but you're obese and you can't even fit in the airplane. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, dang, that's so true. So I started walking. And then okay. I'm like, I've always had the goal to run, and I wanted to run a marathon. Mm-hmm. And so slowly I started running. I'm just like, okay, I finally made it to a mile. Like, I want to do a 5K. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, the only thing that's holding me back is me thinking that I can't do it. Mm. So that mentality helped me to run 3 miles. And it's helped me continuously. Mm-hmm. I would go and stop, but I ended up running continuously, and it helped me in my job. Like, Stacy does hard things.
Yeah.
So that it frees up space, and it frees up, because when you're running, you only think about running, or you should only think about mm-hmm. running, like mm-hmm. being present, like knowing your feet is hitting the pavement, right? Recognizing your breathing. And it was a time that I listened to audiobooks, sometimes music, because it's mm-hmm. really encouraging, because I needed to listen to something ratchet to keep me going, because it was hard.
Seems like something aggressive.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, you're right, I can do it.
I love that. So you started with walking, and now you're to the point where you can continuously run 3 miles, mm-hmm. which is huge, because I can't do that.
It's hard.
So, and then I don't even know how long you have to run a marathon. So how long do you have to get to?
I think it just depends on the person, how fast they are. Okay. I haven't ran one, but I know maybe 2.5 hours for a full marathon.
Oh, my goodness. Running for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I don't know if I will ever get there. I mean, it might be like 6 hours, but if I did it, I did it.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yes.
If you can give me all day, maybe I can run what other people run in 2.5 hours.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's good. So do you have any date in mind where you're like, I'm going to go ahead and enter a marathon? Or are you still stepping towards it?
I'm still stepping towards it.
Okay. Yeah.
Building up like my breathing, because I sometimes hold my breath when I'm running.
Okay.
And that's dangerous. So definitely building up. So from 3 miles to 6 miles to 12, just up from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see how you could do that. Like, singers, sometimes we hold our breath, and which is a bad thing.
Right.
If you take in a big breath and you go to sing something, but you hold it all in, and then when you finish with the phrase, then you let the breath out, which you should have been slowly, letting it go out. So it's that habit. Mm-hmm. You have to teach yourself how to do it, in a way that helps you be successful.
Yes.
Yeah. So I get that. Mm-hmm. So is there any other aspect to your healthcare that, to your working out routine that you do, or do you just focus on running?
No, I definitely love weight training. Okay. Strengthening has been huge to me, just knowing that, because people always tell me, Stacey, you're strong, like just mentally.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, you're crazy. So it physically has helped me realize mentally I am strong.
Yeah.
Like, I need to hold on to that. Like, I've endured a lot and I'm still here. In my right, right is mine.
Yes.
And it's just like, wow. So just strength training to see, okay, I'm starting out with 5 pounds. I'm going up to 10.
Yeah.
Now I'm up to 12. Like, it's just the slow process of making it to the next weight. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say for women, we have to learn how to give ourselves credit.
Yes.
We never give ourselves credit.
I know.
Really never give ourselves credit. And we always think the next person is better at such and such, you know, than we are.
Yes.
When the next person standing over there, it's like, oh yeah, they real strong.
Right.
But we won't tell ourselves that.
Right. Yes.
So, Stacey, let's talk about relapses, because that's something that's real for everybody, but especially women. Mentally, you know, one day you feel one way, the next day you feel a whole lot weaker than you did, you know, and then sometimes you get on that spiral where you get all the way down to, you know, maybe I don't know how to make any decisions. What do you do if you were to have a relapse? What are the things that you have in place to help you to get back to, like you say, your rightest mind?
Yeah, so that is something that I am still struggling with.
And then we all do.
Yes, so it is hard. Like I mentioned before, major depression has been a part of my life as long as I can think of. So I decided finally, thankfully, to take antidepressants.
Okay.
And they do their job, but it's not the cure.
Okay.
So there are days I'm just like, okay, I can actually not hear a million thoughts and I can get through this day. And there are days just like, if I get out the bed, I'm going to drown. And it's just so hard. Antidepressants help you get out the bed. They don't help you deal with life. So that's when the community comes in.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm an introvert, so it's hard to have that community around me. But thankfully, God, he has placed people who are aggressive in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So they won't let me be down for too long.
Yeah.
So I'll get the phone calls or the text messages. And a huge thing is that I decided to be open about it. Because anything that covers, it won't heal. So I decided to just be open about my depression, that it's major and that I can't control it, and that I'll have my good days and I have my really, really, really bad days. And honestly, today is a horrible day for me, like mentally. So, but I still have to go.
Yeah,
I still have to remind myself the world won't stop. And even though it's hard and I can't get out the bed, like have to get out the bed because I promised Carla I would do this.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, you are killing this conversation. So
thank you.
I was like, let's help turn that around because you are killing it. No, you are actually killing it. Yes.
Thank you.
Today's a really, really, really good day. Today's an awesome day.
Yes. It's beautiful outside.
Yes. So, I love that. So are there lines that you wish that your friends didn't cross? Are you like, so you say you have some aggressive friends because you are open. If you are not having a good day, you'll post it.
Oh, yes.
You will post it.
Yes.
And so, you know, and to me, that's like a, okay, Stacey needs some encouragement. And I'm sure some people call right away. So are there lines that you wish that people didn't cross, or are you like, when I need my community, I need my community come after me?
So there are days when, yes, when I need my community, I need my community. But there are days when I'm like posting or just expressing like I'm really down today. Today really sucks. I don't need any encouragement because I already know that I can go on, that God is great and he's mighty and I'm strong. Like, I already know those things. Those are a given. I don't need to hear it again. Because then to me, it's like you see me as weak. You see me as, oh, you can't go through this unless I encourage you.
Okay.
However, I know that my friends don't mean it.
Yeah.
You know, their intent is for the best for me. Like, their motives are pure, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
But it's annoying at the same time.
It's annoying at the same time. I know, because you are in a community of I would say writers as well.
Yes.
So everybody wants to write.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And encouragers. And I love it. Like, yeah, we can encourage each other.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
sometimes, like, I don't want to hear it. Get out of my face. I'm not reading your reply.
And that's your right to do.
Right.
You know? So, like I said, that you will post and you will be open and honest. Does that help in any way? Like, if you like, okay, today is not a great day mentally, I'm going to post some things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you, like, okay, I posted it, now I can turn a corner?
I post my bad days and my struggles with depression because I want people to know it's okay.
Yeah.
I want people to know that when people are depressed, they have great days,
mm-hmm,
and they can get up and dress up. And then there's days that it's a struggle,
yeah,
and you have to fight to get out of bed.
Yeah.
And I want people to know that those things are okay. Like, mm-hmm, people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, it's always been a stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And I want, yeah, them to know, like, okay, you're not the only one. And, yeah, it's okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So both ways, I post so people will know it's okay.
Yeah.
Not necessarily after I post I'm better, because I'm just like, I'm not great, so I'm going to get off my phone and I don't want anybody to talk to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just letting the world know,
yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
one person who's not okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And that gives some permission for somebody else to,
yes,
say, okay, it's not an okay day,
yes,
for me as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Your let's talk a little bit more about your community. What are some of the great things that people in your community have done for you?
So, like I said, I have aggressive friends,
mm-hmm,
in a great way. They're all very creative.
Yeah.
And what I had to learn is that not one person can be everything for you. So,
mm-hmm,
I have friends who, when I know I need to hear from God, I will go to them.
Okay.
And I have friends when I'm just like, I don't care about anything right now, and,
yeah,
I just want to,
yeah,
sit with you,
yeah,
and I just need somebody not to say anything. I have those friends. So,
yeah,
I'm grateful that my community is it's vast.
Like, yeah,
it's different characteristics, and I'm able to just be myself in different aspects.
Yeah, yeah. And I can say that also, yes, you get that from your community, but you also provide that. I have seen
you
with my own eyes sit with someone and not do anything or do a task for them,
mm-hmm,
you know, if,
mm-hmm,
they needed it. So that's why I love that you said, I am a sister, because you really are a sister.
Thank,
yeah,
you.
And,
yes,
I appreciate you. I truly,
thank,
appreciate you.
You.
And I appreciate your time. I know we could talk on and on and on and on and on.
Yes.
But it seems like our time is up. So I will say thank you so much for being here, Stacy. We truly appreciate your honesty. And we appreciate this conversation, because this helps so many women who are saying, okay, what do I do when I have a day that's not okay?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So everyone, my name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org for all of the great information about Love Ministries. We will see you back here next week. Every heart, every